Howdy, this is Dave from the Ninja Outreach Podcast, where we talk with entrepreneurs about online business and marketing. I'm here with John Paul from johnpaulaguirre.com. He was number 6 on Forbes magazine's top 50 social media influencers list. John Paul, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. You from Boston, by the way?
Yeah, about 45 minutes south.
Okay, cool. I'm actually west, Metro West, near Framingham.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Should have done this in person.
Right?
I can tell from the accent for sure, man.
Yeah, man. It's one of those you either love it or hate it.
Yeah, I love it. but I'm a little biased.
Right.
All right. So for those of us who don't know you, why don't you let us know a little bit about yourself?
Basically, I do blogging. I've been blogging for about – I started my blog in 2009, but probably really started using about 2010. Dealing with blogging, social media, how to make money online is what I initially started with. I started with the blog came a little, a few years after I was working online, selling on eBay and things like that. And the blog just came from that, having a place to where I can share what I was doing with people, and then it kind of took off in its own thing.
So you'd already kind of been working online.
Yeah, for about 5 years, I was doing. I was in a multi-level marketing program for a few years. I did a little selling on eBay and some affiliate selling for about, let's say, about 4 to 5 years. I was doing that, and then the blog came, towards the end of that.
Gotcha. For those people who don't know, what's like an MLM, multi-level marketing program?
It's like a direct marketing. You sell their product, you make a commission, you sign people up to it. I guess network marketing, same thing.
Right. So you start to get some experience. Were you like full time online at this point?
Yeah. At the time I had a kidney transplant, so I couldn't really have a job initially. So I went online, and this is my quote job for a few years, and it worked so well that after about between 10 and 12 months, I got off my disability checks. And this is all I did. I never got a job. I never went back to work. And I just continued to do this, working online. So
awesome.
Technically, yeah, it was full time.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, you started working online, took you about a year or so to start getting enough of an income to kind of provide the lifestyle you're going for. And then you've kind of never looked back.
Yeah, man, maybe probably took about 6 months, but then it took me another 6 months. To feel comfortable that money was going to consistently come in. I hit the 6 month goal. I was making decent money, but I didn't want to drop everything else that was going on my disability checks, for example. And then, 2 months later, the income online kind of, dried up. So probably about 6 months, and then it continued pretty well for about 6 months. And then at that point, I was like, I think the foundation is set that it won't go much lower. But it's definitely going to go higher, and that's when I was able to drop the disability checks and decide that, I don't need to go to work or get a job again.
Yeah, I hear you. It's definitely difficult to know, when you can start to count on that online income. I mean, it can be a bit variable, and, it's not like that paycheck that you get every week or 2 weeks, that you just know it's pretty much coming in. So I hear you about sticking around a bit. So you start blogging back in 2009. When do things start to kind of take off for you?
And I don't know. I think the first few months was pretty bad because, I'd do a post and I'd lose focus on the blog. I'd go back to what I was doing, the initial making money stuff, and then I'd come back to the blog. So the first year, I really half-assed the blog, and it kind of sucks because who knows where the blog would be today if I didn't half-ass it for 12 months. But do you know what I mean? But after that, I don't know, man. The success came slowly. I think the biggest thing was probably when I really started – doing well on Twitter, and that's when I put a book together. I think maybe that's when I started, my shares got better, more noticeable, and more attention, and the traffic started coming in more. But there was no, there was no one thing that was like, oh shit, that happened, that's great, and now my blog is going to go from here. It was kind of like a slow, steady thing, and it just got bigger and bigger and better,
right.
Which is great because, it's nice to have that one hit wonder and get you there, and hey, my blog is going to be fantastic now, but back then it was a little easier. Today, that's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean? You want that consistent growth, I think, long term, and that's going to it's going to keep you here longer than having that one big hit. You have a great blog, you have a great couple months, and then people start forgetting you again.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of people, they think, hey, if I can just get that one feature on Forbes or BuzzFeed or whatever it is, it's going to just send droves of traffic, and I'm just going to jump out of obscurity and finally kind of become something with whatever the online business is that I'm running. But, you know, my experience with that stuff, a lot of times it will cause a very big spike. If, first of all, that's if you can get it, right? In most cases, right. It never happens. If it does happen, it will cause probably an enormous spike. But then, you know, you almost find yourself somewhat back to normal, right? What you're talking about is just grinding away kind of day after day, week after week, and kind of building a brand, and finally, you know, finally it just begins to happen for you.
Yeah, that's it, man. Because the other issue with, you know, waiting for that big, like your example with Forbes, most people, it's not so, it's kind of one of those things like those, I don't know if back in the day you heard people going on Oprah, right? They have these tiny little businesses in their garage, and then they, hey, I want to go on Oprah. They get on Oprah, and then they realize, oh, shit, like, I'm not ready for that growth, and the growth actually ruins their business. Same with Forbes. If you're not ready for that, or if you plan on getting on one of these big sites and you get there, that's great, and you're going to get a lot of traffic, like you said. You're going to get a nice spike maybe for 4 or 5 days. But if you're not going to benefit from that, if you don't have any – getting people on the email list, if you're just bringing them to a regular blog and, yeah, they're all going to come, and then they're going to be gone in a day, and then long term, 2 weeks later, they've forgotten you. So, yeah, that'll definitely help you. But if you have something in place and you have everything set up correctly – then you're going to benefit more from those spikes.
Yeah.
You want those spikes, man. Trust me, they're great, but don't rely on those. You know what I mean? Just, you know, put the work in every day, connecting with people, with the right people in your niche, and, you know, building your brand and getting people to – giving people a reason why they should come to your blog, because it's not easy today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, to your point, I mean, you have to be ready to receive that type of traffic by having, you know, making sure, you know, your email is optimized and that you're kind of in the your hosting can won't buckle under the pressure. Or
exactly.
If you're running a business, you know, and that you have the inventory to fill the supply, because, yeah, I was actually just I was reading something the other day where people said, you know, this what seemed like it would be a success actually killed the business because it just overwhelmed them. And everyone leaves with a bad impression. They never come back.
Yeah, I heard that. You know, you hear that a lot, man. Growth too fast ruins a business faster than no growth. Because, like, for the example that, and these are the ones that stick in my head, because, you know, you go on Oprah and you're literally getting 50,000 orders that day. Like, if you're a small and pop, you know, a small mom and pop or a little business, you're not ready for that. You don't have the equipment to make that kind of order. You don't have the inventory to make those orders. And what happens is these people put the orders in, and then you got them waiting 2, 3, 4 weeks because you're not ready for that success. And what happens, these people are pissed off now. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you can't follow through. It actually ruins your brand, and instead of something that should have been huge and great for you, if you're not ready for it, it's a bad thing. And like you said, the biggest issue probably would be the hosting. With us and having a website, it's especially for newer blogs where it's just set up with the shared hosting, you get a huge spike like that, your blog is going to die. It's going to crash that day because – it's just not going to handle it, and that's one of the biggest things, because then you have, you know, thousands of people coming to a dead site.
Yeah. Who do you use, by the way?
Right now I'm using Bluehost. We're moving some stuff over to I think I'm going to go over to WP Engine.
Mm-hmm.
I think they manage it for you. I heard some good things about them, and I'm not ready for a full-blown my own hosting
dedicated,
yet.
Whatever.
Yeah, right. Dedicated. I don't need all that yet, and I don't need the cost, and I don't really need that yet, but I need something like – Bluehost, I got the advanced option of Bluehost, and it's doing its thing, but we're going to move all our websites to something better, because the problem now is I do get those spikes when I do blog posts, and since I'm only doing like one blog post a week, you know, they don't like that. They don't like the big spikes, and then those they don't really want to see that, so we definitely need to move something else.
Gotcha. So you mentioned Twitter a little bit ago, and I've looked at a bunch of your posts on your blog, and a lot of them are Twitter focused, and I think you have like over 100,000 followers, which trumps me by about 99,997 or so. So tell us, please, like how did you kind of make your way through Twitter, and how what has that meant for you?
Man, Twitter's a beautiful thing. The problem is now people have ruined it. You know what I mean? Because everybody has. See, having 100,000 followers doesn't mean today is nothing. You know, back when I hit it, there was only like really famous blogs and big people that had 100,000 followers. That was a big thing to do. Today, anybody can get 100,000, whether they pay for them, you know what I'm saying, whatever they're doing, which usually isn't actually building them, they're just paying for them. 100,000 followers isn't that big a deal anymore. But Twitter is one of those social medias, the best one, because I can get a new blogger today, set up their blog, and put them on Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus. And I guarantee you within 2 days, Twitter will be sending them traffic where the other sites will take weeks, if not months, to actually get some attention. Twitter can benefit your blog quickly, and people don't get that. They don't understand. Twitter moves fast, but that's a good thing for bloggers because it also sends traffic quickly to your blog. And the nice thing about Twitter is you can actively grow your following. You can do it on Google Plus, and you can, you know, circle other circles, and you can do a little bit of that on Google Plus. Facebook, you can't do any of that. The only way you're going to grow your stuff is you pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook's going to be dead in 5 years, so I wouldn't focus too much attention unless you're buying ads. Other than that, nah, it doesn't do much for me. I'm on there because I have to be, and I help people with it, but I would focus my time on Twitter because you can actively gain targeted followers. It'll drive traffic to your blog immediately, and then, you know, throw a little focus on the Google Plus, because if you do things right over there too, it'll bring you some traffic pretty quickly also. But Twitter's the place to be, man, and it doesn't take a lot of learning. If you put the time in, you're active, you're sharing great stuff, whether it's your stuff or somebody else's stuff, and you do that on a regular basis and you share throughout the day, you know what I mean? You don't have to be there 40 hours a day, 10 hours a day, 20 hours a day, but you got to make it look like you are.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? If you break up, do some chunks in the morning, do some chunks in the afternoon, do some chunks late night or even late at night. You know, a lot of people go on Twitter and on social media 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Sure.
So you've got to be there throughout the whole day. And that's it, man. There's some tricks and tips, but just being active and sharing great stuff is what's going to get your attention. When I started, probably 20 times a day, people would be like, John, I love the tweets you're sharing. And they weren't just talking about my stuff. They were talking about just me sharing other people's stuff.
Right.
Curating. It was targeted. Yeah, it was targeted. It was funny. And have some personality. If you're a blogger about business, don't just share business stuff because it's boring. You know what I mean? Like, throw personality in there. Throw stuff that you like. Throw stuff that piss you off. Throw some new stuff in there. Throw stuff in there that you like in between the targeted business stuff and the related stuff. Definitely keep the related stuff at the majority, but you definitely want to throw in some extra stuff in there that makes you look like you're a normal person. You're not just there shoving business stuff down everybody's throat, which is boring, and that's a quick way to get you, you know, probably ignored.
Right. You got, like you say, you have to inject the personality into, you know, your brand, your social media, your blog, and, you know, make it so that you're somebody who should be noticed, right?
Everything, man. I don't care what your personality is. If you're an asshole, trust me, there's a lot of assholes out there going to love you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You just got to appeal to that niche.
That's it, man. It doesn't matter. If you're blunt and rude, there's going to be blunt and rude people that like that. So it doesn't matter what your personality is. I don't care if you want to be funny. I think I'm funny, so I'm a smart ass. I'm sarcastic, so that's what I share because that's me. But you don't have to be that. You know what I mean? You could be a really serious person, but always share that. If that's your personality, then you share serious posts that that you enjoy. So you don't have to be funny. If that's not you, don't try to be, because then it just comes off silly.
It's going to be awkward, you know what I mean? Right? You're never going to be able to pull it off. You know,
right. Be yourself, your personality, because right? Trust me, whatever your personality, and there's a lot of bloggers out there that are great. I think they're rude as shit, and I don't like them, but they have a huge following. Because there's always people that'll like that.
Right.
I have people that like me and people that don't, and that's just how it's going to be, whether it's on your blog or on Twitter. But if you throw some personality, whatever that is for you, in between your targeted shares, you know what I mean? That's the best way to get people to pay attention to you, because if you're just throwing out business stuff nonstop, then you're going to look like an RSS feed. And not saying people are going to completely ignore you, but you'll have better success if you look like a real person and you're in there active, you're applying to people, you're sharing stuff that you like, whether it's funny, whether it's important, whether it's powerful, whatever it is to you, mix that into what you're doing.
Yeah, it's a fantastic point, and it reminds me of a quote too, where it say, you know, if you don't have people that don't like you, you're not doing a good job, you know, because you have to take an angle, you know, your angle and own it, right?
That's it, man. You're not going to make everybody happy. And that's the problem with a lot of bloggers that come online and they want to make everybody happy, and the reality is it's just not going to happen. And because the internet is so petty, it's so easy for people to say things they would never say or say in real life, right? Nobody would ever come up to you and be like, dude, your car's a piece of crap. Nobody's going to say that to you. But they'll come on your blog and be like, your post was a piece of crap, because they can hide behind either a fake name or a known name. So the reality is, even if you're doing everything right, you can do everything perfect, there's always going to be people that nitpick, because whatever going on in their life, that's where they're at. They want to be that petty person. Like, I can write a 2,000-word blog post, right, sharing something you've never seen or done before that's helping you for free, and then I'll have somebody that writes me an email, goes out of the way to write me an email saying, John, you used the word you're wrong. I didn't do the apostrophe two times. So two times in a 2,000 word post, that's what they took from it. So it doesn't matter, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter how great or how perfect that post is. 10,000 other people would love that post and eat it up. But the fact is, you're going to have people, no matter how great the post is, no matter what you're doing online, how good it is, people are going to pick at it. So once you understand that, then who cares, man? Do what you do, and that's it. Whether it's on Twitter or on your blog, like you said, take a stand. This is who I am. Like I said, if you're mean, then be mean online, because there's going to be a lot of mean people that like you. So you just got to go with it and bring that into your writing, into your anything you're doing online, and especially on Twitter, because there's so many great people on Twitter now. Do you know what I mean? Everybody knows how to use Twitter now. It's not like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, where people are still all over the place. People know Twitter, and businesses are all in Twitter now. So to stand out, you have to be different, and that's one good way to do it, is throw some personality in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, again, to your point, when you have those people and they're jerks or whatever, and they send you an email and they're pointing out this and that and they're complaining and this, it's a sad thing, but those people tend to be the most vocal, right? And you've got the 10,000 people who enjoyed it, loved it, probably said nothing. You've got the one jerk who, decided to speak his mind and insult whatever. But you get used to that, right?
Yeah, man. Listen, if you come to my blog post and you read it and you don't agree with what I said, I'm cool with that. I'll accept your comment, and I'm cool with it. As long as you do it in a nice way. I mean, don't – if you're not being rude or being an ass, to just be an ass and get attention, which it's sadly a lot of people do that, then if you're coming to me and say, John, I don't agree with that, with 1, 2, and 3, blah, 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 I'm like, I'm cool with that. You came from one place. I came from another. You grow your business one way. I'm growing my business. So we're going to have – different. If we all agreed on everything, then there'd be no point in having thousands of bloggers out there, right?
Yeah,
so I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
I'm cool with that. My thing is, if you're going to be rude, just be rude. Like the nitpicky, somebody emailing me over the your over 2,000 word, that's funny to me, because that's sad to me that out of that post, that's what was powerful enough to motivate you to email me.
Yeah.
I think that's hilarious. So I make a joke and I laugh at them because I think it's funny. Because that's what motivated you. Not the post, not what you learned, but because, the word was misspelled twice out of a 2,000 word post. To me, that's kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
So it's funny to me. But if you're going to be constructive in your comment and in your negativity on my comments, I'll let you go through, and that's fine. Like, you're not going to make everybody happy. But as long as they're cool about it, you know what I mean? As long as they say, hey, David, that was a great post, but I don't really agree with point number two. Cool. Tell me your opinion. And that's the point. We throw back and forth. We go back and forth, the conversation in the comments. And that's it. It's like I've written posts where the comments are almost as good as the post was.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because people throw in their 2 cents, and you got people going back and forth. And all of a sudden, there's more learning in the comments than was my actual post. So I'm okay with that. I'm just the a-holes just to be a-holes. That I don't even bother. I don't even allow them, because I monitor all my comments. That stuff I let go. And on Twitter – man, you can't win fighting with somebody being rude on social media.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose, yeah.
Listen, you can't, man, because what will happen is, like 2 years ago, I had a guy that kept tweeting me and being an ass. And I was, because it's on my stream, I'm trying to be cool. And I'm like, listen, we agree to disagree. I see it one way, you see it another. And that's cool. We're okay with that. I'm not mad at you. You shouldn't be mad at me. We agree to disagree. Let's go on and move on my day, because it's a Saturday morning. I don't really want to be on Twitter all day. You know what I mean?
Dealing with this guy.
Yeah, I went back like 10 times, man, and it finally – he wouldn't let it go. And I didn't want to block him and be silly about it. So I finally just I told him, listen, go screw, because you're a rude prick and I'm tired of it. Sorry, but – and that's what I said, that because I didn't care. What happens is people now come to my stream and see that. They don't see the other 20 messages of this guy being an a-hole and me being really polite and nice – trying to, to let this go and let's move on with our lives. They just see my last message of me being an ass, and then I look like the bad guy.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? So you can't win. So when people do that stuff to you, I laugh it off, ha, 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 yeah, whatever, I hear you, buddy, and let it go. If they keep pushing, then it's up to you to either block them or do what I did, but you can't win.
Yeah, got to take the high road.
Yeah.
So – great. Earlier you mentioned, Facebook's dead in 5 years. What are some of the other predictions you have around blogging and social media, the state of those in the next 5, 10 years? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Blogging's going to change a lot, because a lot of things are going mobile. People don't really – I think the podcasting thing is huge right now, and I think it's been huge. It's just funny how now, because some big names got into it, now everybody's like, oh, you got a podcast.
Right.
Buddy, you should have been podcasting 10 years ago. I should have had a podcast 10 years ago. Do you know what I mean? Podcasting, yeah. Like, famous people have been podcasting for years, and it's been they've been killing it. So I think that's going to get bigger because, especially going mobile, man, I think people would rather do that. I think video is probably going to get bigger if people can keep their videos pretty short. People will still watch videos because, you know, people still like the visual.
Right.
I think blogging is going to change, man. I think you're going to have to find a way to get your information to people quickly. So I think it's going to change because there's so many good bloggers today. You know, what took to build a blog 5 years ago is, you know, 10% of the effort that it takes today. Like, what you need to do today to have a successful blog is so much harder than it was for these people that have these monster blogs that started, you know, say 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When it was very easy, I could have blindfolded, I could have built a popular blog 10 years ago, man, because nobody had a popular blog about, you know, about blogging
anything
or making money.
Yeah,
man, and, you know, they didn't have, nobody was. So that was easy back then when you see some of these old school bloggers that have like RSS feeds of like 200,000 people. You ain't doing that today unless you're a guy, a ginormous like Eaton News site or something, or you're a really big website. Like a regular blogger like you and me, it's going to be really hard for you to build a, you know, a 200,000 RSS feed or even email list. Even an email list, unless you're a straight-up marketer that's using blogging as a tool. But if you're just a straight-up blogger, it's probably not going to happen. So today, blogging is tough, man. I can imagine what it's going to be in 5 years from now trying to have a blog. Like, I wouldn't start a blog in 5 years. I'll say that. Like, I'm glad I'm where I'm at right now. My brand is already set that I can build off of that. Not that it's where I want it to be, but it's at a place where I'm happy it's at and I can still grow from it. I wouldn't start a blog tomorrow. Like, I'd start a blog tomorrow if it was just a niche site and keep it really small. But if I was trying to build a blog and build a brand and build a name for myself and explode from that, man, it's going to be hard in 5 years to do that.
It's a slow road, isn't it? A lot of people, you know, they want to start online businesses and they go the blogging route because I feel like it's got the lowest barriers to entry, right? Like, pretty much anybody can pop one up in 45 minutes and get cracking. And that's all well and good, but, you know, realistically, you know, seeing any fruits of your labor in the next year, if you started today, is pretty hard, right?
Yeah, man. Listen, because the problem is what happens with the new blog is, number one, if you start a blog, anybody who's listening, if you start a blog, you're not going to make anybody that you really care about for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't care. Unless you're doing a very niche blog and you're chasing some keywords and you're spending a little money on advertising, that's different. You can put up one of those sites, put some money at it, put some focused content into it, get your SEO correct, and you may start making money in 6 months. But if you're building a blog like mine and like David's, like just a branding blog, you teach people how to do something, you're trying to build a brand and a business from your blog, it will not happen for a very long time. It will not happen for – maybe not even happen for 12 months. If you do everything correctly and you put the work in, maybe 12 months you'll see some money coming in. But money that you can actually live off of, not going to happen.
Right.
It's going to take you a long time to see that, to see that money come in. And the problem is, new bloggers, what do? They don't have money like I did in the beginning. I went to social media. The problem is, social media is a beautiful tool and will drive huge amounts of traffic to your website. But what happens is they get so focused on doing social media that they forget to do anything else. And social media alone will not build your blog and your business. Social media will bring traffic in. But at the end of the day, if social media – I don't care if my blog post gets 500 tweets. If those 500 people didn't actually read the post and come to my blog, that means nothing to me. I would rather have 100 tweets but 100 people that actually read the post were on my blog where they saw my opt-in boxes, my advertisements, my services, my everything, than have 500 tweets – and only, you know, 100 people, 50 people came and actually visited the website. So people get so caught up on doing social media, and they forget the point of social media is marketing. Just like any marketing, you need to have a goal. The goal is either driving traffic to what you own, which hopefully is your blog, so people see what you're selling, your blog posts, your products, your services, your banner ads, whatever you have on there. That's the goal, and I think a lot of new bloggers get so caught up on doing the social media. And they think, hey, I'm busy on social media, I'm getting more tweets, and that's great, and you definitely want that. But at some point, those tweets and all those shares have to benefit you in some way.
Right. So people, they go on social media and they think, you know, that they're doing work or whatever it is, but there's nothing behind it, right? You have to have the business behind it that you're marketing through social media so that, you know, there's actual conversions or whatever it is that you're going for. Otherwise,
something.
It's just smoke and mirrors, right?
Yeah, you have to have goals. Like, I could sit on social media all day too and, wow, I was busy. At the end of the day, I'm tired. I've been at the computer all day. But at the end of the day, I got 2 opt-ins. So what was the point? What was the point of all that work? Even if my tweet – yeah, I got some posts tweeted. Hey, that's great. But if at the end of the day I walk away with it, I didn't make no money, number one, or at the very least I got two opt-ins, then all that time I spent on social media was a complete waste of time, really, because, yes, you got your brand out there, and that's a beautiful thing, and people, more people saw you, and hopefully that'll benefit you in the future. And that's all great. You want that, especially for a new blogger. But as you start growing, that's not enough anymore. You need to benefit more. If not, then do the social media, but do other things, because there's about 100 other things you could be doing to build and promote a blog that's not social media.
Right. So you've done a fantastic job about turning your blog into a business. You know, what are some of the products and services that you've offered?
Services, man. I started services a couple years ago. It was not something I actually planned on offering, but people kept asking, and so I offer it. And services are a tough thing, man. I read the post you wrote on your blog about services.
Yeah.
Services is a tough thing, man. I'm just going to say I had a course. I don't have products out yet because, number one, I've been lazy and I'm a procrastinator.
Yeah.
I had a Twitter book a couple years that sold really well for 2 years, but now it's old, so I don't sell it. I just give it away for an opt-in now.
Mm-hmm.
I have services like blog review, social media review, like that kind of stuff, and coaching is my main – what I really like to do is the consulting and the coaching.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, man. Coaching is – it's my three best ways for somebody to make money with their blog is selling a product, selling a service, or but really, those are the only two. Sell a book,
yeah.
Well, sell a book, sell a product, or sell a course, right? If you sell an ebook, I consider that separate than selling an actual course.
Yeah.
But sell a product or a course or in your book or your time. But you have to know when to bring those things out because, like you mentioned in your post, selling services, you have to be really touchy about and really selective about who you sell your services to. Because the point of selling something is to blow them away and they love it. They want to either buy more from you, or they're going to tell everybody around them how great your service was. If they don't take what you teach them and use it, then at the end of the day, I end up looking like the bad guy, because if that guy buys my coaching, right, goes on Twitter, social media, Facebook, oh, I'm so excited, I just started coaching with John Agia and blah, blah, blah. And then 3 months later, people visit his site, and if they remember, hey, this guy was coaching with John, and then all of a sudden his blog is still dead, his social media is still dead. Now I look bad because – not that I didn't teach him correctly, since he didn't do anything with it, or he didn't do. Like, I told him to do 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. He did 1, 2, and 3, and chose not to do 4 and 5, and then wonders why he didn't have success.
Right. It's like you know got to pick the right clients so that they kind of represent your brand well, right?
Yeah, because you have to make sure this person is really into it, is going to really put the time in and take what you're telling them and do all of it. Because if they do all of it, whether it's my coach or anybody's coaching, if you do what they tell you, everything they tell you, there's a reason why – I tell you everything. If I tell you to do five things, don't pick three out of the five and think you'll be good. You won't be good. There's a reason why there's five. I have better things to do. If I could do it in three, and I could tell you to do it in three, I tell you exactly, man. I tell you to do it in three. So you have to be selective. But my biggest thing is coaching. You're selling the coaching right now.
Yeah, and you've established yourself as an authority like over the years, which is why you can kind of bring that to the table. You're referencing kind of a post I wrote, and I won't get into it in long detail, but essentially, you know, too many people kind of coming out with things that I felt like they weren't really ready for, and they hadn't established kind of the authority and the credibility to kind of be successful at what they were doing.
Yeah, man, I tell people, selling a product or a book or a course is one of the best ways to make money. But what they don't tell you is it won't work if you haven't proven yourself first.
Yeah.
If you haven't laid the foundation for that product, which means you've put out an ebook similar to that product, which touched base on what your product's about and taught a little bit and blew people away. If your content hasn't been teaching people, showing people you know what you're talking about, if you haven't laid that foundation for months first, I don't care how beautiful your product is, you think it is, you'll make a couple sales. But you're going to actually ruin it, because once it's launched, it's launched. You can't come back and relaunch it unless you update it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Selling the product is great, but it takes a lot of foundation first to sell that product. Because the number one people are going to be like, who's this guy? Why am I going to buy your product about Twitter? Why do I care? And if you don't have some proof, like when I did my book, I waited until I hit 30,000 followers, and then I did my Twitter book.
Because
then people's like, oh, why should I sell to John? Well, John has 30,000 followers, where most people at the time had like 1,000.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? If you're telling people that you're a traffic expert, then, man, make sure you have a great Alexa.
Yeah.
Make sure you get a lot of traffic, because it doesn't make any sense to tell somebody you know something and then you're not even proving it on your own website. That's silly. So do a product, but don't do it. Make sure it comes out the right time, or course or service or whatever it is. Make sure it comes out at the right time. Prove yourself first. Whether that's – I don't know. There's no time limit. once you feel you've proven yourself, months, content's out, you've got people. People won't even comment for free or share your post for free. What makes you think they're going to pay you for a product? It doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're not getting anybody to take action for free on anything you're offering, whether it's a tweet, whether it's an opt-in, whether it's a comment, if they're not even doing any of that for free, what makes you think these people are going to then give you, you know, whatever, $30 for a course? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, great. Great points, John. It, you know, I think it's a great place to wrap it up right here. Really appreciate you coming on the show, keeping it real. Where can our audience find you?
Basically just at the website, johnpelagia.com.
Spell your last name here for the non-Portuguese speakers.
johnpaulagia.com. And then on Twitter at John Agia, johnagiar. That's about it. That's the best, two best places they can reach me.
Awesome, John. Thanks a lot for coming on, and we'll speak soon.
All right, man. Thank you.
Bye.